Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, it's National Infant Immunization Week this week. And while we're talking about vaccinating your infants, we also want to look at the role of social networks in parents' decision-making about immunizations, because there is some controversy about scheduling, and parents are deciding whether or not they want to vaccinate in the schedule that is recommended by the National Institutes of Health. My guest is Dr. Anita Chandra. She's a pediatrician with Northwestern Memorial Physicians Group in Chicago, Illinois. So, Dr. Chandra, there was a study that looked at the role of the social network. Tell us about this study, and what does it show about parents making vaccine decisions?
Hello. Well, so the study is interesting because it actually shows that parents, people networks, along with parents' social networks, so whether they be media networks or social interpersonal networks, seem to play an important role in parents' vaccination decision making, particularly for parents who choose not to conform to the CDC recommended schedule. So while physicians and parents' own views on vaccination are an important factor in making this decision, it seems that the sway or the pull away from vaccinating appropriately seems to be coming from social media and actual parents' people networks, you know, whether they're parenting groups or whatnot, which I think is really interesting that seems to be where we need to spend a little bit more time investigating and educating so that they're not swaying parents away from what the physicians and the Centers for Disease Control are recommending.
Okay, so what do you recommend that parents use for information to learn about babies' vaccines? Because, of course, Radio MD, we're giving high-quality information with experts from the American Academy of Pediatrics, so you know you can trust this. HealthyChildren.org, the American Academy of Pediatrics website, AAP.org. But people don't always know where they can get information that they can trust, and they see these stars on TV. They see these stars tweeting and in the media, Dr. Chandra, saying vaccines do this and that. So how do they take that information and sort it around?
Well, I think as a practicing pediatrician, what I think is really important is to open up the conversation about immunizations early on in an infant's life. So when the parents are first bringing their infant to see me, I think it's important to listen to their concerns and to express an understanding that there are so many different resources that these parents can go to. I think it's my job, though, to point out the informative internet sites, the resources from the Academy of Pediatrics. And I think by spending a lot of time talking to the families, I feel like I can gain their trust, that they actually start trusting me more than what the popular media may be telling them. I think it's really important to make a parent feel that they're being listened to, because their concerns, for whatever reason they've developed them, need to be heard. And I think that if I listen to them patiently and give them the resources that I use, it counteracts any of the negative popular media that they may have encountered.
And what resources do you use?
So I recommend exactly what you said, the American Academy of Pediatrics website, the Healthy Children website. Dr. Offit is a wonderful author and pediatrician. He has wonderful books out there about pediatric vaccination, World Health Organization website. I recommend some books by the AAP, including the Baby 411 series. And then we, in our own practice, have accumulated various just websites that are important for parents, that sort of counteract what the social media is.
Okay, so, and this is National Infant Immunization Week.
Correct.
So we have now not eliminated completely, but effectively cut down the numbers for 14 different vaccine-preventable diseases.
Correct.
So that is amazing to me. And why any parent would want to bring any of those diseases back because they're afraid of the vaccines, I don't personally understand. I don't want meningitis and smallpox and things to come back. But
exactly.
In any
well, Exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, vaccines have been so fantastic worldwide. It actually happens to be World Immunization Week this week as well. So this last week of April. It's really interesting that the vaccines that have been produced and researched extensively and have been used worldwide have done such an effective job in eradicating horrific vaccine-preventable illnesses. But they've almost become their own enemy because young parents and even young physicians haven't even seen some of these illnesses. And so parents are not even sure what to be afraid of anymore. And so they are fighting the thing that we know is effective. And you did mention 14 vaccine-preventable illnesses. People would even say they're up to 16. But there are so many that have been, you know, like you mentioned, 100% eradicated. Smallpox around the world, that used to be a devastating illness. Paralytic polio, you know, now polio is it's been eradicated definitely in the United States, but there are still some pockets of infection in the Middle East and Asia.
Well, and even so we hear about the things now, infant immunizations, the most common that they get now, and pertussis. People say, they maybe agree with smallpox, polio, you know, even meningitis, but they don't always agree with why should we keep our children from getting measles, chickenpox, pertussis, you know, all of these things because they're just normal childhood diseases, I hear.
Well, those may be, chickenpox would be a great example where a lot of parents feel like, why can't my child just get this simple itchy rash? But they don't realize that there are complications that people can have from chickenpox. Certain populations of people who, even though they've been immunized, don't take immunity very well and so are still susceptible. An immunocompromised population that is susceptible to the devastating effects that chickenpox can have on them. So, if a child were to get chickenpox, I would hope that it would actually be a very mild form of it, and it would just be an itchy rash. It would keep them out of school for a week, keep the parents out of work for a week. That would be the simplest way for it to be. But that's not what ends up happening. That's not what the potential is. It could end up being a more devastating illness, and I don't understand why we would risk that.
I don't either, and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention lists the vaccinations that our children should get. And just reiterate, Dr. Chandra, for parents, about, you know, the concern of many vaccinations at once and these combined vaccines now.
Well, so that seems to be one of the big concerns parents have, that we are giving so many vaccinations early on, and what is that doing to the child's immune system? And I think the important thing to understand is that years ago, when all of us were children, young children, the vaccines that we got contained the whole cell that our body needed to develop an immunity to. So there were over, you know, thousands of antigens in each vaccination, whereas now science has become so refined that the vaccines contain such few proteins in them that the number of antigens the body is seeing in a vaccination are in the hundreds as opposed to in the thousands. And, you know, the newborn baby sees so many more antigens just being born than what's in these vaccines. So I don't really think that there is any credible science behind spreading out vaccines. You know, the preservatives that the minor amount of preservatives that may be in certain vaccination products are put in there for safety reasons and not for anything else. And there are no studies that link any of the preservatives or the vaccine products themselves to any neuropsychological behavioral illnesses. And over again, bodies of science have demonstrated that these vaccinations are safe and can be used effectively in our population.
That is a great way to wrap this up, Dr. Chandra. And it always amazes me that people who are worried about the preservatives would not hesitate to feed their children Pop-Tarts. So I'm sorry, just adding a little levity to this. But yes, we have to vaccinate our children. This is National Infant Immunization Week. So be sure and talk with your doctor. They will hear you, explain your concerns, and hopefully your doctor will be able to clear those up for you. It's all about keeping our children healthy right here on Healthy Children. On Radio MD, this is Melanie Cole. Stay well.